She called it mutual, the way people call a bad deal fair once the papers are already signed. At first, I believed her. Or maybe I wanted to. The messages were there, screenshots lined up like evidence in her favor. Timestamps, laughing emojis, my own words pulled out of context and held up like a confession. Look, you said yes. Look, you came back. Look, you didn't stop me. That's how she framed it, like consent was something you proved after the fact, not something you felt in the moment. I remember how it started, how warm it felt, how deliberate. The way she talked about boundaries, like they were just misunderstood desires. The way she made hesitation sound like flirting. I'd say I wasn't sure, and she'd smile and tell me that uncertainty was part of what made it exciting. That if I really didn't want it, I would have disappeared already. And I didn't. That part still fucks with me. Later, when I tried to explain the shift, the point where my body went quiet but my mouth didn't, she pulled up the texts. She read them out loud, slowly, like a lawyer, like a lover, like someone very certain that memory belongs to whoever documents it best. By the time I realized what she was doing, mutual was the only word anyone could see, and somehow, I was the one defending myself against it. I didn't think of it as pressure at first. That's the lie I keep circling back to, the one that makes everything else easier to swallow. Pressure sounds crude, obvious. It suggests someone leaning in too close, a hand where it shouldn't be, a voice that doesn't bother pretending to ask. What she did was smoother than that, cleaner. She made everything feel like a continuation of something I'd already agreed to, like I was just following a line I'd drawn myself. She liked documentation. That was one of the first things I noticed. Not in a creepy way, not yet. She saved messages, took screenshots, quoted me back to myself with a smile that said, I'm paying attention. I mistook it for care. I mistook it for intimacy. I told myself it was hot that she remembered things I'd said weeks earlier, down to the punctuation. See? She'd say, tilting her phone so I could look. You said you liked it when I was direct. And I had. I really had. That part still knots my stomach, because it's true. I did like it, at first. The confidence. The way she didn't hover in uncertainty the way I always did. She made choices. She pushed forward. She spoke like she already knew where things were going, and I let myself be carried because it felt good not to steer for once. That's how she framed it later, too, as momentum, as inevitability. The first time I hesitated, it was small, barely a thing at all. We were sitting close, legs touching, her thumb tracing the same slow path along my wrist, like it was absent-minded. I remember thinking I should move my hand, just to reset the moment. Not stop it, just pause. Instead, I laughed. I made some half-joke, something light and stupid, because that's what I do when I don't know how to interrupt without sounding dramatic. She noticed. Of course she did. You okay? She asked, already smiling, already leaning closer. Yeah, I said because, yeah, is my default. Because explaining takes energy. Because I didn't have language yet for the exact shape of my discomfort. Later, much later, that yow would become one of her favorite artifacts. She never crossed a line in one move. She stepped on it slowly, shifting her weight until I was the one off balance. She talked about consent constantly, which should have been a green flag. It should have reassured me. Instead, it became this weird, looping conversation where she defined it so broadly that it stopped meaning anything at all. Consent doesn't have to be verbal every second, she'd say. Comfort shows up in lots of ways. You wouldn't still be here if you didn't want this. That last one landed hardest. It stuck to me. I started measuring my own behavior against it, like a test I kept failing. If I really didn't want something, wouldn't I pull away? Wouldn't I say no clearly, cleanly? Without qualifiers or nervous laughter or backtracking, wouldn't I leave? But leaving would have meant admitting that something was wrong, and I wasn't ready to do that yet. Leaving would have broken the version of the story where we were just intense, just passionate, just figuring it out. She leaned into that, hard. Every time I tried to slow things down, she reframed it as desire with poor timing. If I said I was tired, she reminded me of the night I'd stayed up talking for hours. If I said I wasn't sure, she pulled up a message from earlier. "You make me feel bold," I'd written once, drunk and giddy and reckless. "There," she'd say, "that's you. That's not me pushing." And it fucked with my head in a way I still have trouble explaining. It wasn't that she ignored my discomfort. It's that she reinterpreted it until it stopped counting. Hesitation became tension. Silence became anticipation. Stillness became permission. And I let it happen. That's the part that keeps me awake. I let it happen because she made resistance feel like a contradiction, like I was arguing against my own recorded words. Every time I opened my mouth to say this feels off, she answered with, "But this feels like us." There's a paragraph in my mind that just burns. It's ugly and angry and full of fuck this and fuck you and fuck me for not saying anything sooner. It's the part where I replay the moment my body went quiet, where I stopped leaning in and started endearing and realized that my silence didn't stop her. It sharpened her. She watched me carefully then. Not like someone checking in, but like someone collecting data. "See," she whispered, "you like when I take control." I wanted to correct her. I wanted to say, "No, I like feeling safe," but the words got tangled in my throat because correcting her would have meant rewriting the whole narrative, and I was already tired, tired of explaining, tired of second-guessing, tired of wondering whether I was overreacting to something everyone else would call normal. That's the quiet cruelty of it, the way she made everything sound mutual, even as I disappeared inside it. She didn't need to overpower me. She just needed to keep me talking long enough to trap myself in my own language. Later, when I finally tried to name what felt wrong, she didn't argue. She didn't raise her voice. She didn't get defensive, the way I'd secretly hoped she would, because that would have made things simple. Instead, she reached for her phone. "I just want to understand," she said softly, "because from where I'm standing..." And then she showed me my life, edited. Messages, stitched together. Timestamps, highlighted. My laughter, frozen into evidence. It was fucking surreal, like watching someone else testify on my behalf, saying things I recognized, but didn't agree with anymore. "He never said no," she concluded, calm as a verdict. And the worst part, the part I still choke on, is that I couldn't immediately prove her wrong. By the end of that night, I was apologizing for being confusing, for sending mixed signals, for not knowing my own mind. She held me while I did it, warm and steady and reassuring, and told me we were just learning each other. That's when I should have run. Instead, I stayed. And somewhere between the screenshot and the smiles and the way she kept saying mutual, like it was sacred, I started to believe that whatever had happened to me must have been my fault, because if it wasn't, then I'd have to accept that wanting someone once had given them permission forever. And that realization hadn't hit yet. Not fully. Not until it was too late. By the time I understood the rules, she'd already written them in permanent ink. Chapter 1 is where I still get to pretend I was confused. Chapter 2 is where that excuse dies. This is where she stopped reacting to me and started managing me, where consent became a process instead of a feeling, where sex stopped being about desire and turned into compliance with receipts. She didn't rush anymore. That was the first shift. She slowed everything down, stretched moments thin until they felt deliberate, calculated. She asked questions that sounded caring but landed like traps. "Are you comfortable? You like this, right? Tell me what you want." I answered because that's what you're supposed to do when someone asks. I answered because refusing to answer would have sounded dramatic, and I was still trying not to be that girl. I answered because part of me still wanted to believe we were just negotiating intimacy like adults. But every answer became ammunition. If I said maybe, she heard eventually. If I said not right now, she heard later. If I said nothing, she heard, go ahead. She didn't ignore my boundaries. She translated them. The first time I explicitly said no, clearly, verbally, no ambiguity, she smiled like I'd said something interesting. Okay, she said, that's fine. Relief flooded me so fast I almost laughed. See? She listened. See? I wasn't imagining things. Then she leaned back and added, casually, just like last time. My stomach dropped. What do you mean? I asked. She didn't answer right away. She picked up her phone instead, scrolled, turned the screen toward me. There it was, my message from weeks earlier, sent late at night, flirty and loose and reckless. I like when you don't ask so much. I felt heat rush up my neck. Shame, confusion, a sharp, dizzying sense of being caught in something I didn't remember agreeing to anymore. You said this, she reminded me. I just don't want to cross a line. That was the moment I realized the line was wherever she said it was. After that, every interaction felt like a test I didn't know I was taking. She'd initiate something and pause, not to check in, but to watch me, to see how long it took before I responded, whether I leaned in or froze, whether I filled the silence with reassurance. And I did. Fuck, I did. I filled it every time. I started narrating my own discomfort out loud, softening it, packaging it so it wouldn't sound like rejection. I'm just tired. I'm just not in the headspace. I just need a minute. She'd nod. She'd wait exactly 1 minute. Then she'd remind me of another time, another text, another night, another version of me who sounded more certain. You were into it then, she'd say gently. What changed? I didn't have a good answer. Trauma doesn't announce itself. It creeps in quietly and then asks you to justify why you suddenly feel different. So instead of saying you're scaring me, I said, I don't know. Instead of saying stop, I said, I'm confused. She loved that word. Confused meant negotiable. There's a stretch of time I can barely remember clearly because my body learned how to leave before my mind caught up. I was there, responding, making noise when expected, moving when guided. From the outside, it probably looked neutral as hell. From the inside, it felt like floating a few inches above myself, watching a version of me perform consent, because it was easier than fighting the narrative she'd already built. One night, I don't remember the exact date, just the way the room felt too warm, she whispered. Relax. You always tense up right before you like it. Something in me snapped then. Not loudly, not dramatically, just a quiet, internal nope. My body went rigid. My mouth went dry. I didn't say anything, because saying something would have required energy I didn't have anymore. Afterward, she kissed my forehead like she'd done me a favor. You see, she murmured, you needed that. That paragraph, that moment, that's where the fucks start piling up. Fuck her for saying that. Fuck me for staying quiet. Fuck the way my brain tried to smooth it over afterward, telling me maybe she was right. Maybe I'd been wound up. Maybe I'd relaxed eventually. Fuck the way I rehearsed explanations for something I didn't owe anyone. Fuck the word eventually. Fuck the idea that arousal erases refusal. Fuck the way I felt dirty and dramatic and ungrateful all at once. I started avoiding her, subtly at first. Delayed replies, excuses, being busy. She noticed immediately. You've been distant, she said. Did I do something wrong? I almost laughed. The audacity of the question hit me like a slap, but I still answered carefully, diplomatically, because by then I'd learned that honesty cut dissected. I just need space, I said. She nodded. Then she sent me screenshots. Again, conversations where I'd said I liked closeness, where I'd joked about not needing space from her, where I'd reassured her when she'd pretended to worry she was too much. You're giving me mixed signals, she said. That's not fair. Fair. That word did a lot of work for her. Fair meant I owed her consistency. Fair meant my past self overruled my present one. Fair meant my discomfort was a clerical error. By the end of that week, I was apologizing again. Not because I believed I was wrong, but because pushing back had become exhausting. She framed it like compromise. like we were meeting in the middle. In reality, the middle kept moving. She started using the word mutual out loud, often, like a spell. This is mutual. We both want this. We're adults. Every time she said it, I felt something shrink inside me, like my experience was being overridden in real time, like my memory was less important than her archive. I didn't feel violated in one explosive moment. I felt eroded, sanded down, rewritten sentence by sentence until I couldn't point to a single act and say, that was it. All I could say was something is wrong, and even that felt flimsy against the weight of her proof. What I didn't know yet, what I wasn't ready to see, is that she didn't need me to agree. She just needed me to stop resisting. And I was already almost there. The exposure didn't arrive like a reveal. It crept in sideways, disguised as clarification. By then, I wasn't trying to stop anything anymore. I was trying to survive it without imploding. That's the part people don't understand, the way your standards shrink when your nervous system is constantly braced. I told myself I could manage her if I stayed calm, if I chose my words carefully, if I didn't trigger another round of evidence. She was calmer than ever. That should have scared me more. She started talking about context, about how people misunderstand dynamics like ours, about how messy things look when outsiders get involved. She said it gently, almost lovingly, like she was protecting us from the cruelty of interpretation. I just don't want anyone getting the wrong idea, she said one night, scrolling through her phone. People can be weird about women who know what they want. I watched her thumb hover over the screen, over my messages, over my past. I felt like a file she was organizing, labeling, deciding where to store. That was when I realized she wasn't worried about what had happened. She was worried about how it would look. The final fracture didn't come during sex or an argument or a confrontation. It came during a conversation that sounded reasonable enough to pass for healthy. I think we should talk about boundaries, she said. I almost laughed, almost cried. My chest tightened with something that felt like hope, which should have been my warning sign. She laid it out methodically, how we'd miscommunicated, how emotions complicate things, how desire shifts. She acknowledged my discomfort in abstract terms, feelings, perceptions, sensitivities, while keeping the facts solidly on her side. Then she said it, the sentence that ended everything, even though I didn't leave right away. If anyone ever asked, she said carefully, this was mutual. That's important to be clear about. My mouth went dry. Asked who? I said. She looked at me, genuinely surprised. Anyone. That was the moment the room changed. The air went thin. My body finally caught up to what my brain had been dodging for weeks. She wasn't confused. She wasn't misreading me. She was preparing. I tried to push back then, really push back. I told her I didn't feel okay with how things had gone, that I felt pressured, that consent wasn't a paper trail you assembled after the fact. My voice shook, but I said it. I fucking said it. She listened, nodded, didn't interrupt. Then she reached for her phone. I hear you, she said softly. I just want you to hear yourself. She played a voice note I didn't remember sending. My voice, laughing, relaxed, saying something careless about liking when things felt intense, about trusting her, about being open. I felt like I was watching someone else drown. That's you, she said. That's not coercion. That's chemistry. Something in me finally broke, not into tears, not into rage, but into clarity so sharp it hurt. You're using my past self against my present one, I said. Heh, she frowned, just slightly, like I'd accused her of something unfair. I'm using facts, she corrected. Feelings change, facts don't. That's when I understood the full shape of it. She hadn't erased my consent. She'd preserved it, frozen one version of it in time, and decided it applied forever. Every boundary I tried to set after that was treated like a glitch, a contradiction, a rewrite she refused to accept. I stopped arguing. Not because I agreed, but because I saw a trap clearly for the first time. Any word I gave her became material. Any emotion became distortion. Silence was the only thing she couldn't reframe. So I went quiet. She hated that. The messages started piling up. Concerned at first, then irritated, then sharp. You can't just shut down. This isn't how adults handle conflict. I deserve clarity. Deserve, that word again. Like access to my body had come with a customer service guarantee. When I finally said I needed to end things, she didn't explode. She didn't beg. She sent me a document. A fucking document. Screenshots, dates, explanations, a timeline titled context, like she was submitting a case file. At the end, a paragraph summarizing the nature of her relationship. Mutual, consensual, complicated but healthy. If you ever start questioning yourself, she wrote, this might help ground you. I stared at the screen until my vision blurred. That was the final cruelty, not just rewriting what happened, but offering the rewrite as a kindness, as support, as a way to help me doubt myself more efficiently. I didn't respond. A week later, I heard from someone else, a mutual acquaintance, casual, curious. Hey, they said. I heard things ended weird between you two. She said you were on the same page, just intense. You okay? That was the exposure. Not loud, not public, not something I could point to and say there. Just a quiet narrative, already in circulation, already settled. I wanted to scream. I wanted to correct the record. I wanted to send my own screenshots, my own timeline, my own proof. I wanted to say, she did this. She knew what she was doing. This wasn't mutual. But I didn't, because I knew how it would look. Emotional, defensive, revisionist. She'd already won the language. Now, months later, the damage sits in me, like a permanent hum. I question my reactions. I overexplain my boundaries. I keep receipts I hope I'll never need. I flinch when people ask what I like, because liking something once feels dangerous now, like a contract I might not be able to void. She didn't steal my consent. She made it unsafe to trust my own. And that's the part that never stops echoing, the way she gets to walk away calling it mutual, while I'm left holding the wreckage of a self that learned too late that wanting someone doesn't mean surrendering authorship over what happens next. That version of me, the one who trusted warmth, who believed clarity would protect her, is gone. What's left knows better. And that knowledge doesn't feel like healing. It feels like damage that finally learned how to speak.